Family Circle again, and we trust that you'll stay with us for the next quarter hour as we deal with another broadcast under the caption of the Bible Picture of Christianity. On the broadcast last time, we actually told the story from the Word of God by inspiration as it is given of how Philip the Evangelist was able, through the proclamation of the gospel, to lead the man from Ethiopia to Christ Jesus. I'm sure you've read this story in the 8th chapter of Acts, and no doubt after hearing it on the broadcast last time, you may have gone back and read that story, how that Philip began with a scripture back in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and preached Christ to this man. We want to deal with that which takes place after one has become a child of God in Christian living. You see, the point is that when one obeys the gospel of Christ, the Lord forgives his sin, and according to Acts 2:47, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved or were being saved. This would imply that when one is baptized, he puts on Christ Jesus or becomes a part of the spiritual body of Jesus, which in reality is his church. We're aware of the fact that one is added to the church and becomes a part of the spiritual body of Christ, but in his public meetings or the worship, he assembles with a congregation. You see, the church was, of course, universal throughout the entire world. The gospel, according to Colossians 1:23, was proclaimed to every creature under heaven. And there were people from all walks of life and all part of the known world at that time in the first century that became followers of the Lord. Now, these people could not congregate in one location each week, such as Jerusalem. So the Lord brought into existence, through his marvelous plan, local assemblies that are known as congregations, but they were all a part of the spiritual body of Christ. These congregations are identified time and time again in the New Testament. As we look namely at the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote there in the first days of Christianity, I was reading just the other day from the Epistle to the Galatians. Galatia, not being a city but a Roman province, had a number of congregations a part of it. Someone said to me not too long ago, this may have included such congregations as Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Lystra being the community where we have Timotheus meeting Paul, and perhaps the community where he was raised. Now there was a congregation of the Lord's church in that community. I want to note actually what happened here at the city of Antioch in Syria. There are two Antiochs that are referred to in the New Testament. The Antioch in Syria that is generally just mentioned as Antioch when you find it in the Bible. And then there's an Antioch in Pisidia that we find Paul and Barnabas visited on the first journey. I'd like to go to the 11th chapter of Acts on the broadcast today, and I'd like to have you notice especially that the gospel was taken forth after the stoning of Stephen when the disciples were scattered abroad to various locations. One of those locations apparently was the Antioch that is mentioned in Acts 11:22. We know it as Antioch in Syria. Let's see what really took place at Antioch in Syria. Now, verse 21 says that the hand of the Lord was with them who were preaching the gospel, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. We would understand then that this congregation of the Lord's church had a beginning in the city of Antioch in Syria. Let's notice what took place in the lives of these people following their conversion to Christ. Verse 22 says, then tidings of these things came out of the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they, that would be the local congregation in Jerusalem, sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Let's notice what this Barnabas did when he came to the city of Antioch and found a good many people who had obeyed the gospel of Christ. Verse 23 says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, and truly this was the fact that people had obeyed the gospel and had been saved from their past sins. When he came and saw and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know, this is the same thing that took place on the day of Pentecost when approximately 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel in Jerusalem. You remember a few weeks ago on this broadcast, we went to Peter's sermon in the second chapter of Acts, and we showed that in verse 41 of that chapter, that there were those who gladly received the word and they were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them, well, we have aware of the fact there are about 3,000 souls. Now, these disciples were encouraged to be faithful to the Lord, for Acts 2:42 says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Now, I would understand their continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine is the same thing that is mentioned here in verse 23 of Acts 11, when Barnabas exhorted them all, everyone in the assembly as Christians, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now this is a community where they were first called Christians there in that 11th chapter of Acts. You see, the point is that a congregation of disciples who come together upon the first day of the week to break bread, who give as they're prospered, who sing, who pray, who exhort and edify one another, that exhortation, that edification being in love, according to the 4th chapter of Ephesians, are also a group of people who need a capable leadership. And I want to key in just for a few moments on the broadcast today to note that out of the number of disciples who were confirmed and strengthened in the faith, there were those who eventually could meet the qualifications of becoming elders or bishops in the local congregation. Now, I want to make it very clear, and you'll find this to be true when you look at the whole scene of New Testament Christianity, that it never was a one-man situation. There never was a case where the man was above the message, but the gospel was always the foremost thing. So the Christians in each congregation are looked upon as being individuals before the Lord, but as a congregation of disciples who truly are to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But no congregation can really rise above its leadership. And so these evangelists, much like Timothy and Titus and the apostles, went into these various communities, and when there were people who had obeyed the gospel, they encouraged them to continue in the faith. And out of this number, there were those who grew to spiritually to meet the qualifications that are found in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, as well as Titus, the 1st chapter. These qualifications fell under two general headings. One must be qualified to execute the office of the eldership or the as a bishop. And then the other qualification in general is that he must be a good moral and upright person. We will not take time in the broadcast today to read and to comment on the qualifications of those elders or of deacons, but you can find them again in the 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy or in the 1st chapter of Titus. But the point is simply this, and it's later found in the 14th chapter of Acts. And when Paul and Barnabas followed a course into a different part of the world, looking now at the 14th chapter of the book of Acts and considering verse 21 to begin with, these are references, I think, that can mean a lot to you if you're interested in this subject, and we hope you are. Well, it talks about Paul and Barnabas here as they go to various localities on that so-called first journey. And when they had preached the gospel of that city, which is Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Now, that's Antioch and Pisidia. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. You see, when there were men in the congregation who could qualify to be elders or bishops, then were aware of the fact that they were ordained. The same was true of deacons. The elders were to take care of the spiritual needs of the church, being the overseers of the congregation, while the deacons had a very vital part to play in overseeing and taking care of the physical needs of the congregation. Well, what does this simply mean? This simply means that in the Lord's church, and we find this to be true in the Church of Christ today, attempting to follow the pattern of God, we do not have a religious hierarchy. In fact, the strongest or biggest unit that we can especially find in the Lord's church according to the Bible is the local congregation. Now, you'll notice it's referred to as elders or bishops. These men are the spiritual overseers, and this is a situation that is plural. It's a very unfortunate thing when a congregation just has one man that is qualified to be an elder or a bishop. In the appointment of elders and bishops, there's a plurality. This is true with deacons. So it does not become a one-man arrangement in the local congregation. Neither do we find is a religious hierarchy set up. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the King of the Kingdom. He's the head of the church. And all these local congregations with their elders and deacons are truly subject to him. The interesting factor is that when you bring together those who are qualified to lead a local assembly, you have men who know the Bible, who can skillfully use the Word of God for the benefit of every child in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest points that's made regarding the eldership is found in Acts 20 and 28 that I want to leave with you on the broadcast today. Paul talked to the Ephesian elders at Miletus in that 20th chapter, and he told them in verse 28, "You take heed to yourself and to all the flock, that be all the congregation, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." God is the Father, his family name is used here. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood, according to that verse. He is the head of the church, and thus we understand we are subject to him. Well, this is a subject that has a lot of facets, and it may have raised questions in your mind today. Keep in mind that you can be a part of this wonderful arrangement by obeying the gospel from your heart. When your sins are forgiven, the Lord will add you to the church. You truly can be identified in a local congregation under the elders and the deacons of that congregation. Under the elders, working with the deacons and with others, that the name of God may be glorified. Well, we're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. I hope this has been beneficial to you. If you have questions, feel free to send them in. Listen for Time of Service of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. And be with us next time as we continue on with the Bible picture of Christianity.